Just in your prayers this morning. You know, over in Turkey, there's a little building standing there. To my knowledge, and from what I've heard about it, it hasn't had anybody in that building except tourists and folks that were curious about that little building. Maybe there's a sign. I'm not sure. I haven't heard that. I've just heard that the building is still there. But the building is the church house for Ephesus Church, the one in the Bible. Ephesus Church. The building's still there. Nobody goes there. No worship there anymore. Wonder why. I wonder why there's no longer a congregation worshiping at Ephesus Church. When I read the epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to that church, it's a wonderful epistle. It's so highly instructive that I hope that we never have to, and I don't think we'll ever have to do without the Bible, but you know, if you just had one book of the Bible, a lot of folks like to have the book of Romans, but you know, I could be, if I had to pick. The book of Ephesians is such a rich book doctrinally and with such rich practical teachings about how the church should be and how what a minister should be like and the gifts that God has given to the church and instruction for families and husbands and wives. And I mean, it's just a complete message. Now, no surprise, the Holy Spirit inspired it, okay? And Paul wrote it when he was in prison. So he had plenty of time on his hands to compose, but it was the Spirit that moved him in writing these things. But my point is, as wonderful as the teaching is in the Word of God, that church house has been sitting empty for a long time. So I think it's good for us to ponder. Now there's a good clue in the scriptures as to why. But we could just, you know, not knowing anything, it's foolish for us to try to draw a conclusion without having, you know, a lot of the facts, but we do have Bible. The last time we have heard, or last time that we have a mention of the church at Ephesus, is in the book of Revelation. And this book, in that message, it's in the early part, in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, and the Lord is giving a message for John to write and send it to the seven churches of Asia. By the way, that Asia is modern-day Turkey. And one of those churches was Ephesus Church. Brother Terry Sesko from St. Andrew Church in Panama City has visited the building when he was working with civil service, and he was over there in Turkey doing some work, and he took time off to go visit the building. He could tell you about it. I'll have to ask him if there's a sign out front. Probably not too many people would be all that interested. That'd be something I'd be very interested in at least seeing. But you know, it's just the building. The church is no longer there. Now, in Revelation, the message to Ephesus was they had a lot of good things going for them. They had a lot of good works. They were an active church. They were zealous for trying those that said they were apostles and were not, and found them liars. But the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we spend so much time and effort and spend so much of our money on these things, he told us the priorities that we are to have so that all these things could be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, we personally need to be seeking his righteousness so that we can follow his pattern and we can live righteously. Okay, I know we're still sinners, we come short, but we ought to be found trying to live righteously.
There it is. Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So, seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus also said that the fulfilling of the law is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. If you want to get the law right, then major on love. Loving God and loving one another. Okay? So those two passages, loving God, loving one another, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I think in that you're going to find where our first love ought to be. Love God first. And best, I know those little babies are so cute. I know we love our families. I know we love a lot of things. But if we get the priority right and live like we should, we won't be leaving our first love.
Amen.
Now, so what's the big deal? Well, if you continue with the message to Ephesus church, okay? Let's just turn to it. I don't think I announced the text, so let's just go there. Revelation chapter 2. When he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, like I said with some other things that we've preached lately, in preaching on this, I'm not saying you're guilty, but I am saying receive the word and try it and try ourselves, examine ourselves and see if this applies. We at least need to be warned against things, because what I'm leading to now is what the Bible says, giving us the best clue we have as to why perhaps Ephesus church building no longer has a church meeting in it. And so you need to make that mental leap there that, okay, could that happen to us here at Piney Grove? See, that's where the rubber meets the road, is that we need to take what God has given, whether it be blessings, whether it be warnings, whether it be instruction, whatever the case might be, we need to take this and apply it to our lives so that we can continue in the way, so that Piney Grove Church could continue to flourish, to grow in grace. You know, sometimes you grow in numbers. Sometimes you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth so that when the numbers come, then you're a stronger church and better able to handle it and to be a blessing to others. Okay? So anyway, back to Ephesus church. Nevertheless, the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. From where had they fallen? Well, he said they left their first love. When we're rejoicing in our first love, we're being constantly reminded of who we are and what we were by nature before God showed his grace to us and blessed us with his Spirit and blessed us to understand who he is and what he's done for us. our need of him. You know, unless we've seen ourselves as a poor sinner, we won't appreciate the grace that God's given us. Okay? Some have used the word grace as an acronym to represent God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good one. Keep that in mind. God's riches at Christ's expense. He suffered tremendously for us to receive what we have in him. All right? So remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember where we were. Remember what God has done for us. And if we find ourselves in this condition of having left our first love, we need to get back to where we were, right? If you stay where you are, you're not going to get any better. All right, so we need to remember from whence thou art fallen, he says, and what? Repent. Repent. Now, here's the message to this church that's no longer active. God was giving them, this is the last warning we have in the Word of God, to that church, and you'll see the consequences of them not repenting. He's going to go on to spell it out for them. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something, that formula still applies to any church today. This is the truth, so it's not ever going to change. All right? Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Okay? God has given us his Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is with us constantly. And we ought to thank God every day for the blessing of his Holy Spirit. Because it's what leads us. It's what guides us. It's what enables us. Spiritual life and his Holy Spirit enables us to understand the things of God. And to know him, and to know his word, and to know our responsibility before him. And I always like to couple the fact that not only is it our responsibility, so we need to be responsible Christians, right? Now that's a concept that's kind of hard for a lot of people to grasp today about being responsible. All right? But not only is that our responsibility, it's a great privilege. It's the great privilege we have as the children of God. And so, as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as we try to stay close to him and seek his face and his loving kindness and and stay in his will so that we can walk in the way that's pleasing to him so that we can be useful in the kingdom of God. Do you know God uses us in his kingdom to be a help to others? But how usable are we if our mind and our heart, I'm just saying if our mind and our heart is on the things of the world instead of the things of God? So to be useful, to have a positive impact in the kingdom, we need to stay close to the Lord. We need to be walking in his will. That's where we can hear the Lord better. He doesn't speak in the audible sound, but he sure does give impressions of the heart. He sure does give us leadings. He may put people in our path sometimes and see if we're willing to follow him and do what he would have us to do toward those people, or are we just going to be like the Levites and the Pharisees, or the Levites and the priest, and just walk on by without doing anything. All right? Okay, so he said, remember whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent. Well, preacher, get on something else. I don't like that word, repent. You know, I'm being real. I'm being real. In order to repent, we've got to admit we're wrong. We've got to acknowledge that God's right. And then do something about it. You know, it's one thing to reason I got on the Holy Spirit is because it's the Spirit that convicts us when we are wrong. It's one of the greatest blessings God has given us, and it's one of the greatest ways that He communicates with us, because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, there's not a good feeling in there. But when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're rejoicing in the things of God, and when we want to do the will of God, and we're asking for the leadership of His Spirit, it's a sweet time. All right? So if the Spirit has convicted us of something, then we need to repent. And repentance is not just feeling the conviction, it's recognizing what needs to be changed and then making the change. Until we make the change, we haven't repented. Hey, you know, I guess one of my favorite illustrations about repentance is, you know, sometimes our foot gets heavy on the accelerator and we might see some blue lights in our rearview mirror. And we're so sorry when we're talking to that officer. We're so sorry. Well, we're just sorry we got caught. Right? Now, if that affected you so much that you don't do that anymore, and you don't get any more tickets, then you've repented. Hallelujah. Well, let's take that to the things of God. When the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we all come short there. But we ought to be found trying. Okay? We're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Wow, that convicts me every time I read it. How about you? But these are truths. These are keys to enjoying the kingdom of God. These are clues to help us be close to God. These are clues that will help Piney Grove Church have better services when we meet together. If we're down and we need some encouragement, come to church. Let us encourage you. When you're on the mountaintop, then come to church. You can be one of the encouragers. Okay? We need each other. And God knew what we needed, and that's why He gave us the church. Okay? But if we cease to do those things, if we are more interested in the things of the world when we come through those doors, then our heart is which should be soil that's been prepared to receive seed, our heart might be hard. Or it might be so full of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world that the word doesn't get in there. So all of these principles that we find all throughout the Word of God are things that will help us worship God better. It will help us stay closer to the Lord. And so we need all of it. There's no way that I, in 1 hour or a half hour, and some other preacher of another half hour, there's no way we can give you everything you need for that week. You need to be reading the Word. You need to be being reminded of His principles every day. Okay? So, the message to the church at Ephesus was to repent. Remember whence thou art fallen and repent. All right? He goes on to say, and do the first works. Well, I think I've already covered the first works. Loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. In other words, our thoughts ought to be toward what the Lord has done for us. Amen. So that we can be thankful in our hearts. Amen. So that we can appreciate and express that gratitude while we live and be a help to others. All right? Do the first works. Loving God, loving His people. Seeking first the kingdom of God, those first works, all right? When we're born of the Spirit of God, there's new desires, there's a new awareness, there are new faculties, the ability to hear and see the things of the kingdom of God. Okay? We didn't have that until we were born of the Spirit of God. But there's a whole lot more for us to learn once we are born of the Spirit of God. And that's why we're to continue to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Or as Peter said in 2 Peter, closing out that epistle, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we think about those things, those are things we don't need to leave off. As long as we continue to maintain those things, then that helps us to stay close to the Lord. All right? And we don't get to that place where we've left our first love. All right? Now, he goes on. Repent, do thy first works, or else. Whew. You know, when mom and daddy used to say, or else, okay, they didn't start the sentence that way, right? They would say, this is what you need to do, or else. And it usually wasn't a real pleasant thing. It usually was a time that we needed some stern words to get our attention and to realize that they really intended for us to do that. And if we didn't do that, whatever that was, then there'd be some more action to give us a little more incentive to do that. Well, you know the Lord does not bluff. He's not bluffing about anything, all right? So he says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else. And what's the or else? Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou, what? Repent. Wow. He said a lot there, but he came back to repentance. Right? Okay. Let me ask you a question. It's gotten real quiet in here. Do we need to repent of anything? Are we as close to the Lord as we need to be? You know, I think I made that statement a few weeks ago about why we're not having any more revival than we are. Because we're too comfortable without it. God's word is not intended to make us feel bad, but it is to point out what we need to do to feel better. Okay? God's words are wholesome words, healing words. I tried to preach from Jeremiah chapter 8, where he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Well, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In other words, if it was a physical ailment, there are things that will help that. All right? Now, what Israel needed was spiritual help. And so for spiritual help, we need the word of God. And this word is these wholesome words. They are spiritually upbuilding. They are healing. You know, for relationships or for problems that we're experiencing with others and all those kinds of things, there's so much good instruction in here that will heal that situation. With marriages, there's instruction here that if both parties will get back to what they need to be, there's healing there. Sometimes that means that there needs to be some forgiveness. Sometimes that needs to be some acknowledgments. Whatever the case might be, this word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So if we realize that there's a need for repentance, then we need to spend some time and ask the Lord to show me, Lord, how can I love you more? How can I serve you better? The Lord is patient and kind. We may not have the right Maybe we can't think of the book, chapter, and verse that we need to be reading that will give you that instruction, but you've got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can guide you into that truth that you need. All right? So, the issue for Ephesus church was repent. And he said, or else. And the or else was, I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. And if God removes the candlestick from the church, you may meet together, but it's no longer a church. Because God's not there. His light is no longer there. That's scary. That's scary. I'm so thankful God's given us the church. I'm so thankful for Piney Grove Church. I'm thankful for every one of you. But I sure don't want us to go in that direction. I want us to remember the things that God has told us to do and attend to it. You know, we know a lot more than we actually put into practice. Don't we? Yeah. But it's the putting it into practice that gives glory to God and is results in a blessing to others. All right? So that was the message. Let's see, I may not have finished. He said, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick, except thou repent. All right? So this is serious business with the Lord. And obviously he doesn't do it right away. He sends words of warning. He sends, he gives us his spirit to convict us. So it's things that we need to know. Now, when I left home this morning, I didn't think I was going to be preaching this. So I pray the Lord led me in that direction. All right? But remember now, that building is still there over in Turkey, where Ephesus Church met. Okay? We still have the word. We still have what the Lord said about that church the last time it was mentioned in Holy Scripture. And I'm telling you, they had some of the most powerful preaching of any church in the Bible. Ephesus church did. All right? But what happens after the preaching is what makes the difference. Okay? So, let's go back a little bit now. I've got a little bit more time. Let's go from here. I've given you what happened, and the Lord said, repent, or else I'll remove the candlestick, except thou repent. And we know the building is still standing 2,000 years later. It was good construction, wasn't it? I don't know what condition it's in, but it's still standing. The building, not the church. All right, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. It's not my desire this morning to deal with those fundamental doctrines that are laid out in chapter 1 in the beginning. I mean, you've got a complete foundation. You've got a complete description of the purpose, God's eternal purpose, that he purposed through his son. All right? So Paul lays that out by inspiration of the Spirit. And then he enters into a prayer for Ephesus church. All right? Now keep in mind all the other things that we said about. We know what eventually happened with Ephesus church. And granted, it's not unusual for after some amount of time, churches to die out. Okay? This church has been around for quite a while, hasn't it? 1849. You can count that up real quick and find out where we are. Okay? But just because it's been here a long time doesn't mean it's going to stay here a long time from now. Okay? It's what we do today. God is still the same. See, why did Ephesus Church go out of business? I hate to use that term. Ceased to exist. It wasn't God's fault. God gave them all the instruction they needed to be flourishing even today. Well, usually The problem is here. Us. And Pogo said that a long time ago. We've met the enemy and it's us. And it might have been somebody else. It's us. How do we receive the word? How do we treasure it up? How do we put it into practice? That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It'll make all the difference in your world. And it'll make a difference in somebody else's world because of the difference it made in your world. Okay? I mean, these truths are real. And when we put them into practice, you know, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. Okay? When God tells us to do something and he tells us the benefit of doing it, we might give mental assent to the truth of it, but until we've actually practiced it and found it to be faithful, we don't really appreciate it as we should. Okay? Years ago, and I've told you this many times, years ago I had to, when I was in the office, I had to do customer service. And every now and then you'd get somebody, especially around time for printing paychecks, and if their paychecks program wasn't working, then folks get real excited, all right, when you can't pay people. And people would sometimes be upset. And you've probably experienced this too. Maybe you've made one of those angry phone calls to somebody. Somebody that has to sit there all day long and listen to those folks complain. You might have a little more patience with them if you put that perspective. But I learned. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so I tried it. Let's see if this fits. And it worked every time. In varying degrees because of the level of anger, right, but it worked. It is a faithful principle. How little is that? Well, it's big when you need it. All right? And so the Bible is full of those types of principles that can make an impact on your life and add more joy and peace to each day. It may not remove any bad circumstances you have, but it'll sure help you deal with them in a better way. All right? Now, coming back to Ephesus, chapter 1. Paul enters into a prayer for this church. And by the way, he'd labored among those brethren longer than most places that he stayed. All right? But right now, the epistle to the Ephesians, again, was something that was written while Paul was in prison. And he's reminding the brethren. Of course, he's being led by the Holy Spirit in writing these things, but it's a reminder to them of who God is and what he's done for us. Those foundational principles of being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that all spiritual blessings are ours through Christ Jesus. Then as he goes through, all the way down through the inheritance, he says, wherefore I also, I'm at verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Oh, wow. This sounds like they're doing the first works. Their love to God and their love to all the saints. And they're walking by faith. All right? Amazing. They're doing the first works. When he heard of that, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul, the heart of a pastor is coming through here. He has a desire for those brethren to continue in those things, those good things, those first works that they were doing at that time. He wants them to continue. But there's something else that we need to help us to continue in those things. So he goes on to say, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Anybody here need wisdom? Boy, we need wisdom in lots of things. I'll venture to say we need wisdom in all things. Okay? So that whatever we do, we can do it in that way which is pleasing to the Lord. We need wisdom. We need His wisdom. James, in the book of James, he tells us there's two kinds of wisdom. There's that which is peaceable and pure and gentle and easy to be entreated and comes down from above. That's God's wisdom. And then there's that wisdom which is earthly, sensual, and devilish. I mean, there are some clever devils. They know how to do what they want to do. But we want that wisdom from above. All right? So Paul's praying as a pastor. He's praying here that the Lord would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So not only the wisdom, but also being able to see how it applies. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I could stop right there today, and I probably will. In the knowledge of Him. That is the knowledge we need first and foremost. Now, you've got jobs. Some of you in school. There's knowledge that you need to accumulate. But there's nothing more important than the knowledge of God. So that we can have a good foundation as we approach these other pursuits that we have in life. All right? So he says that the Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. All right? So what we want to know is more about God, His word, His way, what would please Him. Where do I need to be, Lord? You know, when Saul of Tarsus was struck down on the road to Damascus, one of his first question was, "Who art thou, Lord?" He kind of answered his own question, didn't he? But then he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And that is a wonderful question for us to ask ourselves every day we live. Absolutely. Lord, what would you have me to do? Is there somebody that's going to cross my path that I need to encourage? You know, what would you have me to do? See, if that's our focus, He's going to answer that. Because that's going to glorify Him. All right? So the spirit of wisdom, we need to know His will. We need to know His way. And revelation, so we get it. There's a lot, you know, when you go back into prophecy of Ezekiel and some of those places in the Bible, you know, there's sometimes some of these prophecies, if you know enough history, you can kind of piece together what's being prophesied. But some of this just simply is not something that the natural mind is going to figure out. So we need wisdom. And revelation, we need that understanding of how to take that wisdom and apply it to our lives, okay? In the knowledge, he says, of Him. Now, there's a little footnote in my Bible. And so if you take that word, knowledge, that particular word, and if you go to the original Greek, now, we can get it from the English. But it's just interesting sometimes when you take that and go to the original language and find out that there's a particular slant or a particular direction that knowledge goes in, all right? And what we're talking about in this word, knowledge, is the idea of acknowledging God. What do you mean by that, preacher? All right, when you understand something, when God's shown you that wisdom and revelation, and you understand it, and then you take that knowledge and you use it, whether it's in dealing with others, whether it's in doing some good deed, whether it's abstaining from some fleshly activity, whatever the case might be, when you use it, it shows that you know it. The acknowledging of that knowledge that we have by letting our light shine, by doing the good deeds, whatever, in the acknowledging of it is what brings glory to God. Okay? We might know a lot of things, but we don't acknowledge it, or you know, if we don't do something to show it, we don't acknowledge that we have that wisdom. So it's important. And it all comes back to a lot of preaching that I've done here lately about knowing and doing. You know, if you know these things, happy are if you do them, John 13 tells us. All right? And Jesus said, when they said your mother and brethren are out without desiring to see thee, he said, who is my mother and who is my brethren? He said, they that hear the word of God and do it. They know it and they acknowledge it by doing it. So, that's so important. And this is the prayer Paul had for Ephesus church. That not only would they know these things, but they would acknowledge it by the life that they're living. And right now, as he's writing to them, they are manifesting that they're doing the first works. And they're serving their first love.
There you go.
All right? And so he's writing these words to them. And that's part of his prayer for this church. All right? That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I'm not going to deal much with it, but I want to get this next verse. We may come back to this another time. But here's in verse 18, and you got to keep reading because there's not a period for a long while, long time here. But when you start to realizing what happens when the Lord gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, what's going to happen? What do we expect to see as a result of that when God answers that prayer? Okay? He says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Isn't that what we're talking about? That we're able to see his will, able to see what's pleasing to him. All right? Able to see what the meaning is for these things, that ye may know. So first of all, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, David, in the Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 18. He says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous works. Thy wondrous works. Open thou mine eyes. Sometimes we need the help of the Spirit to open some of these things to us. Well, we always need the help of the Spirit for it to open. But there's times when we realize it more than others. David said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. That's something else we need to be praying. We need to be praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then we need to be praying, open thou mine eyes so that we can behold wondrous things in thy law. And that expression, wondrous things in thy law, can apply to all of the Word of God. There's so much, even in familiar verses of Scripture, there's so much more to know. So, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. All that glorious hope that he's given us, which is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. The success of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest encouragement we have. That because I live, ye shall live also. Well, he lived and he died. But he rose again. The resurrection changed all of that. And that's why Peter would say, he hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2 Peter chapter 1. So, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Part of what Paul is saying there is the very power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that God exercised upon our soul in raising us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And it'll also be the same power that will raise us from the grave and fashion it like it to his glorious body and take us home to be with him. These truths, like I said, we'll deal more in detail with some of this at another time, but what Paul was praying for this church to understand and to maintain those practices of doing the first works and not leaving their first love, but staying close to the Lord and learning and growing in knowledge and growing in their understanding of these things and acknowledging these things to the world as we go forth. You know, we want others to see Christ in us, right? As we go forth in life, whatever we're doing, let's do it in a godly way. If we're talking, let's talk in a godly way. If we're making choices, let's make godly choices. You know, not everything we make choices about has a godly component, but you look ahead to the consequences. Those choices that we make, well, is it likely that this choice will honor the Lord or will this other choice? We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Power, the understanding, and he reminds us of our inheritance. Our inheritance. Would you say with me this morning that the best is yet to come?
Amen. Yes, it is.
I get a lot of questions about what's heaven like. Well, I don't know a whole lot about what heaven's like. The Bible just doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. But I know who's there. And the Bible tells me an awful lot about who's there. And that should be the one that we're looking forward to seeing. Not just what men have called pearly gates and streets paved with gold and all that. You know, we have a curiosity about us that we're wanting to see that. But listen. We'd never see it except for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed on our behalf and the grace of God being extended to us to apply it to our soul. That's why when we think about heaven, when we learn more about our Lord and what he's done for us, I tell you, you're learning more about heaven because that's where he is and that's who he is. And that's what he is. And he would have us to be that right now and not leave our first love, but continue to do the first works. And so may God help us to remember this word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And help us to bear in mind not to leave our first love. If we have, let's repent. Because God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
If you weren't allowed to repent, he wouldn't have told you to. Okay? And then once we repent, we're to do those first works again. Get back on track. God is so merciful. He's so good. May God help us to honor him and serve him. May this church flourish for another 170-something years. And may we have an integral part of being faithful to God in our day so that there is a church for others to enjoy when we're no longer in the picture. May God bless you, is our prayer.